We'll entertain a motion to come out of recess to go into regular session.
So moved.
Okay, motion, Mr. Lloyd, second. Mr. Riley? Questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We are now back in regular session. And now it is time for our 1:30 public hearings. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Typically, I read the rules of procedure for our zoning hearings. However, our first hearing is not a zoning hearing. Instead, it is the urban properties annexation into the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Ocean View area. Mr. Ashman will be giving a short presentation. After that presentation, the council will have an opportunity to question. Subsequent to that, there will be an opportunity for the public to comment. If you do comment, come to the speaker stand, give us your name and address, and either give us your comment or ask a question. And then subsequent to that, and listening people may be commenting online, we will at that point close the hearing and council may act. So, Mr. Ashman.
Thank you. This is a public hearing for the annexation of the Irwin properties. This is County Council approved permission to prepare and post notices on the expansion for Ocean View on October 7th of 2025. And the engineering department had received a request from Joseph and Christoph Irwin, owners of parcels 134-16-26 and 2601. These parcels are adjacent to our existing Ocean View area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. Parcels are on the northbound side of Windmill Road at the intersection of Central Avenue and are in estate planning level number one. Parcels are capable of receiving central sewer service from an existing line at the rear of the properties, and they will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. Engineering department posted notices on October 21st, advertised the weeks of November 5th and 12th, and posted on the county website. To date, we have had no correspondence in support or opposition of this expansion.
Okay.
Any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to question or comment? Anyone here? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely who may like to opine?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record and then act on the matter.
Okay, if it's okay, council, close the public hearing, close the public record. Okay.
All right, this is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Ocean View area, to include Irwin Properties, two parcels located in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware, recorded in the Office of Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron.
Any questions? And we'll take the vote.
Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. President, next item we have on the agenda, again, is not our typical zoning change, but instead it is a change to Ordinance 25-01. Mr. Robertson will be giving a short presentation, and Mr. Whitehouse, I'm sure, also. And this is discussing the requirements for retail marijuana stores in Sussex County. Mr. Robertson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I will do my very best to be as short as the prior public hearing. I have the shortest PowerPoint I've ever done of exactly one slide that Mr. Whitehouse is going to bring up. So this is an amendment to our marijuana ordinance. It was ordinance number 3016 that was adopted by County Council back in 2024. And as a result of that and some subsequent events, what we looked to do was revise it so that marijuana retail stores or retail marijuana stores would now become permitted uses in C2 and C3, and we shorten the distances between retail marijuana stores and municipalities. So that's what this PowerPoint says. They now become permitted uses in the C2 and C3 districts. Previously, they were only possible as a conditional use in the C3 district. So it eliminates that conditional use step and makes them permitted uses in those two districts. The second thing it does is changes the separation requirements between retail marijuana stores and municipalities. Previously, it was 3 miles between a municipal boundary and a retail marijuana store. Now it is reduced to 1/2 mile from a municipality to a retail marijuana store. What it does keep in place is the 3 miles between retail marijuana stores. Recall that's the same separation district that currently exists in state law for liquor stores. It also keeps in place the separation distance of 3 miles between churches, schools, colleges, and the substance abuse treatment facilities. So those stay unchanged. The only thing that changes is now it's permitted in those two districts, and it's reduced to 1/2 mile from municipal boundaries. So,
okay. Does that kind of mirror what the state liquor laws are?
So state liquor laws, there's no separation distance between a municipal boundary and a liquor store. We did that because unlike state law for liquor stores, state law for retail marijuana stores said that the municipalities could prohibit them in a municipality. So we wanted to kind of honor and respect that so that you couldn't have a workaround and put one right on the boundary of a municipality that had decided not to have them. And originally it was 3 miles. We've reduced that down to 1/2 mile. But what does mirror it, as I said, is the separation distance between two stores. That's the same as liquor stores.
Yes, okay.
Mr. Robertson, is this... This ends up being more restrictive than what was proposed in Senate Bill 75?
No.
It is a bit more restrictive, as I recall, and I haven't gone back and looked at that. The separation distances, as I recall, between churches, schools, colleges, and substance use abuse treatment facilities was reduced substantially. I think that was down to like 500 feet or something like that. It was really close to those, and we've kept that at the 3 miles we originally had.
Okay, copy that.
Any other questions?
If there are no questions, then is there any member of the public that would like to comment on this or have questions? Any member of the public? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing, and if council desires, close public record.
Okay, yes, it's okay with council. We'll close the public hearing and the record. Okay.
Okay, and Mr. Robertson has kindly volunteered to read the short title.
So this is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 11A, 11C, 25, and sections 115-83.11, 115-83.18, 115-83.19A, and 115-194.7, and 115 Attachment 4, Sussex County Table 4, permitted uses commercial to amend the requirements for retail marijuana stores in Sussex County.
Okay. Questions? Yeah, we'll enter. Pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron. Do we have a second? I'll ask one more time. Do we have a second?
Can I ask a question? Is it possible to amend this at all, or is it approve or not approve? I don't know quite what the process is.
Any motion on any public hearing or any proposed ordinance, you do have the opportunity to make amendments. Typically, we would discuss them in advance so we could look at the impact of them. But yes, you do have the ability to make amendments. There is no second to the motion. At this point,
Mr. President, I'll second the motion.
Okay, second, Mr. Lloyd. Hey, are there any questions? Do we take the vote? Well, we have to ask Ms. Grunbaum to see if she has an amendment and what that is at this point.
At this point, we've got a motion now and a second.
Okay, so no, we're past the amendment. That's okay.
Any questions?
Yes, now you can have your discussion.
I'm just not sure. The final point, the separation between stores, churches, schools, colleges, is that consistent with what other? Am I out of order here? I don't know. I'm sorry. No,
this is correct to have discussion once we have the motion and a second. It is
that
proper.
Consistent with other counties have done?
I can't.
Or with the state?
I can't say for sure.
You're not yeah. Okay, and that distance is because, how is that
arrived at? So we looked at what was in code for liquor stores for 3 miles when we originally drafted the ordinance back in 2024. And so the thought process at that time was that we wanted separation distances between stores, between retail marijuana stores. We also wanted it between stores and municipalities, and like I said, between churches, schools, colleges, and substance abuse and treatment facilities. And so rather than come up with just different arbitrary numbers for each one, we relied upon the 3 miles that was in state code for the separation distance from stores to stores. That was the logic behind that, other than just, you know, essentially just coming up with some distance that wasn't based on anything otherwise for the separation distance.
So if I understand that correctly, you can't be within 3 miles of any of those things, another store, a church, a college.
That's correct.
In any of those things.
Yeah.
And is that, is it still plausible to find a space to have a store? I mean, how restrictive is that in terms of the ability?
I couldn't say for certain how restrictive that is. You know, candidly, we don't have a lot of C2 and C3 yet because that's a relatively new zoning district. So, you know, we'd have to look at the existing parcels that are zoned C2 or C3 or places under our comp plan and other reasons that could be rezoned to C2 and C3. It sounds like I'm dodging your question, and I am to some extent because we haven't, you know, looked at every property in the county and drawn circles.
Yeah. Okay.
Sense.
Fine.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. We have a motion and a second. Okay. I guess no other questions. We'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Quernabaum.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
I can't vote yes. This does not, in my opinion, my oath was to uphold the, you know, work towards the improvement of the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens. Sussex County, and I don't understand how this promotes that objective. My vote's no.
Okay, and I also vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Next, we're going to start our normal zoning matters, and I'll read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, there are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made part of the record. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. And when you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it's the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. And today, our first hearing is conditional use number 2483, Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a roofing and siding contractor business with and outdoor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 6.92 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, approximately 3.32 miles southwest of Park Avenue, which is Sussex County Route 318. The 911 address is 22610 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Georgetown. And the tax parcel ID is District 135, Map 15, Parcel 79.02. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits. And I would also note that we have received two written comments, which are included in your paperless packet. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of October 1st of this year. And at the meeting of October 15th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended that the County Council approve the application for the 9 reasons stated and subject to the 11 recommending conditions of approval as outlined with the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Hutt, I was encouraged when I saw you come up without two rows of consultants seated next to you and a thin notebook. So, Mr. Hutt.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. I'd like to note that I'm here this afternoon, Mr. Ryman's here this afternoon, Ms. Pete's here this afternoon, and there's like nobody in this room.
That's unbelievable.
Barely remarkable. I know it's much appreciated by council after the last several meetings that you have had. For the record, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I'm representing Andrew Lewandowski, who's the applicant for the conditional use on the property that was just described by Mr. Whitehouse when he introduced the application. Normally, this is when I say with me are the people in the rows. Unfortunately, no one was able to attend this afternoon. Actually, the Lewandowskis are on their way, but they may not make it here in time, which is probably okay with them. As was just indicated when the application was introduced, this application is for a conditional use to allow the operation of a roofing and siding business with indoor and outdoor storage. The business itself is known as Bayside Exteriors. The property is located at 22610 Lewis Georgetown Highway or on Route 9. If you were to get in your car from here and head east on Route 9, right after you went past the entrance to Sports at the Beach, this property would be on your right. And if you were coming from the Harbison area on Route 9, you would arrive at the light where Park Avenue is and the Sussex County Association of Realtors is, go through that light on Route 9, go past the Tin Roof Trading Post, and again, this property then would be on your left at that point. My client purchased the property in 2018, and their family uses the manufactured home that's near the front of the property or closest to Route 9. As you will see when we talk about the site plan in just a couple of minutes, this family uses the property very much as a large country lot. You'll see on the site plan an area for goats, some fenced-in garden areas, a fire pit, and several outbuildings for storage. This on the screens right now is an aerial imagery, actually from the county's website. With respect to the property, you can see the property is right where the cursor is located. Its boundary is defined by a fence along the eastern boundary, and then this wooded parcel. The fence was on the western boundary. The wooded parcel would be on the eastern boundary of the property. The Office of State Planning Coordination's 2020 State Strategies map shows this property as being within a level two area. As council's familiar with, level two areas are areas where state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses. With that designation of level two that you can see on the property, that you can actually see on here, this is a good rendition that shows actually the proximity to Sports at the Beach, which is just to the immediate west of the property. The future land use map in the comprehensive plan shows this as being that tan or beige area. You almost can't see where the property is highlighted on the property due to the lack of color contrast there, but that is a developing area, as are all the properties that are immediately adjacent to it. And as you can see, this area of Sussex County also has, along Route 9, properties that are within the commercial category on the future land use map, as well as the purple being the industrial area. Of course, the purple area to the south of this being the Sussex County Airport and the business park that surrounds that area. The property is zoned AR1. This is an excerpt from the zoning map. You can see that the properties immediately adjacent to it are also zoned AR1, Agricultural Residential District, but along Route 9, and then back where you saw the county airport, you can see the various shades of red and gray, which you likely recognize as the county's C1 General Commercial District, CR1 Commercial Residential District, HI1 Heavy Industrial District, and LI2 Light Industrial District. And those are all within a mile of this property. As set forth in the staff memo that Mr. Whitehouse's staff put together and is included in the county's packet this afternoon, within that same 1 mile radius of the property, there are seven conditional uses that have been approved for a variety of office, business, and residential uses. And those are the tan areas or orange areas that are shown on the map that's on the screens around the room. There are no wetlands located on this property. The property is not within a source water protection area as that's defined in Chapter 89 of the Sussex County Code. The property also does not have any resources, the defined term used in Section 115-4, which means there's no resource protection that's required. On FEMA's flood maps, the property is shown as being in Zone X. I know Council's familiar, that means it's outside the 500-year floodplain. Water is provided through an on-site well, and there is an on-site wastewater treatment and disposal system. As is customary and required, there was a service level evaluation request that was sent to DLDOT. DLDOT responded to that request, noting that the traffic impact pursuant to its memorandum of understanding with Sussex County would be diminutive, with that defined term meaning less than 50 vehicle trips per day. Presently, Bayside Exteriors has a total of 16 employees that it has for its business. This is not going to be the site where 16 employees are located, though. It is anticipated that there would be one person who would be stationed here to receive and then distribute materials and supplies that are delivered to the property. Certainly, if there was, there could be overlap there as people come and pick up materials and take them to job sites. But primarily, there'd be one person there, the other employees being at job sites, installing siding and roofing materials throughout the county. And that is the basic purpose and function of this application, is to provide a location for materials to be brought and stored there and then distributed to the job sites throughout Sussex County. Turning to the site plan itself and moving into a closer view of the site plan, the entrance is off of Route 9, Route 9 being on the right-hand side of the screen. You can see the entrance here. On the right, as you enter the site, is that manufactured home used by the applicant's parents. On the left side is a garage. And then there is shown on the site plan a sliding gate that would separate those uses from the storage uses that are on the rear of the property. And also, of course, secure the materials, the building and construction materials that are there. As you continue back into the site, on the right-hand side, there is a garage, and then after the garage, there's a storage building. And then adjacent to that, or across the way on the left-hand side is from that entry road, there is an outdoor storage and gravel, or outdoor gravel storage area, rather. If you visited the site or drove past the site, you likely saw that most of the materials are stored within shipping containers on the site and neatly kept and also preserved, of course, from the elements. Not really part of the conditional use application, but as you continue to the rear of the site, you have the goat pen area, and then there are fenced-in areas for some gardens. Of course, if they're not fenced, they are just deer food, and so that is why all of those are fenced. And then there's a patch of woods in the middle, and then as you move around the patch of woods and come back out, there's a fire pit that is also located on the property. The most impacted neighbor would be the neighbor to the immediate east between this property and then Sports at the Beach, and that neighbor is Richard Bell with Clean Cut Pavers and Pools, and the two letters of support that Mr. Whitehouse referenced are letters from Mr. Bell individually and then also his business, and they are in support of this application. As I mentioned, the neighboring property on the eastern side of the property is an unimproved property that is presently wooded. Section 115-171 of the code describes the purpose of conditional uses in the AR1 zoning district and describes it as a zoning tool to allow uses that are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan, and possible impact not only on neighboring properties but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. The proposed use this afternoon is certainly of a public character, similar to the commercial uses that you saw on the zoning map, those commercially zoned areas, as well as the conditional uses in the area, most notably one immediately to the east that council likely recalls it just saw earlier this year, a modification of that conditional use application. As I mentioned at the outset, Bayside Exteriors is a local small business providing roofing and siding services to Sussex County and its residents throughout the entire county. And this central Sussex County location on one of the county's primary east-west corridors provides a convenient centralized location for storage and distribution of materials as part of its business operations. Based upon the comprehensive plan and the zoning code, as well as the purpose of a conditional use in section 115-171, the nature and the character of the area, including the support from the immediately adjacent neighbor, my client requests the county council adopt the planning commission's recommendation, including the conditions which were A through K. That concludes my presentation, and myself and my team are happy to answer your questions, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Probably a record.
That yes. You may have.
Well, thank you. Are there any questions? If not, you can have a seat. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor of the application? Is there anyone here today in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check, see if there's anyone listening remotely who would like to opine?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you. At this time, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, close the public record, and then I can read short title.
Okay, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing and close the public record. Mr. Moore, would you read the short title, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a roofing and siding contractor business with indoor and outdoor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 6.92 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning number 1 through 9 with conditions 10A through K.
Okay, pleasure of council.
I move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
We're both at the same time. Mr. McCarron? Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
I will vote yes, based on the testimony here today and the recommendation of planning and zoning with their conditions.
Mr. McCarron?
Based upon the recommendations by planning and zoning and the testimony here today, I vote yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Based on the testimony given at the public hearing and the recommendation by P&Z, I vote yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Based on the recommendations of planning and zoning and the testimony given, I vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendations and conditions. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Hutt, please take note when you're quick like that. Look how quick you got approval. And the next matter, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2500. Mr. Weyheiss.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to allow for a storage business, 6 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 1.07 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Polly Branch Road, which is Sussex County Route 386, approximately 0.5 miles southeast of the intersection of Roxana Road, which is Route 17. The 911 address is 31459 Polly Branch Road, Selbyville, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 17, Parcel 93.03. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of a deed for the property. And I would note that we have received 0 comments. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and its meeting of October 1st of this year. And at the meeting of October 15th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 6 reasons stated and subject to the 9 recommended conditions of approval as outlined within the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Seeing now, is the applicant here? You'll come forward, please, and tell the council why they should vote to approve the recommendation planning zoning.
My name's Sean Vermillion. I'm the owner of the 1459 Polly Branch Road. And since quick is good, we're going to be real good here. We bought the property. Me and my wife bought the property a few years ago. We have a storage building on there we use for our personal use, and I've had a lot of people ask me to use it. That's when I came up with the idea, well, maybe if we build another one, we could rent out the different units of it. That was our idea. I didn't want to do that without getting the proper approvals and stuff, so we've applied for the special use on this. And that's pretty much it. It's pretty simple. So.
Okay. Are there any questions from council?
I have a couple. What's the, I know it's one building, right?
It's going to be one building divided at 6 units.
What's the square footage of that entire building?
3,200 square feet. It's going to be 100 by 32.
Okay.
So about a little over 500 square foot per unit.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay. If there are no other questions, then you can have a seat.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition, or excuse me, in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check remotely and see if anyone would like to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, at this time we close public record in this matter. If council desires, close public record. So close the public hearing, please close public record. I'll get it right.
Is it okay with council? We'll go ahead and close the public hearing, close the public record. Hey, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to allow for a storage business, 6 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County, containing 1.07 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 6, with conditions 7A through I.
Okay, pleasure of council.
I will move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunenbaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley.
Based on the recommendation, planning zoning with the conditions they offered, I will vote yes.
Mr. McCarron.
Based on the recommendations of planning and zoning and the testimony heard today, I vote yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the testimony heard today and the recommendations by P&Z, I vote yes.
Ms. Grunenbaum.
Based on the recommendations of planning and zoning and the testimony today, I vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning's recommendations and conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. And Mr. President, the last item on the agenda today is change of zone number 2027. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance for the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 5 acres more or less. The property is lying on the east side of the private lane, Margie's Garden Path, and the south side of Milton Ellendale Highway, which is Route 16, approximately half a mile east of Gravel Hill Road, which is Route 30. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 14, Parcel 81.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the applicant's property survey. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, which include a traffic analysis and proposed findings and conditions, along with a topographic survey of the property, along with a plus comments for the property. And I would note that we have received 0 comments. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission and its meeting of October 1st of this year. And at the meeting of October 15th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended that the County Council approve the application for the 8 reasons of approval as outlined within the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Ryman, you have the floor.
It goes off inadvertently, so.
Testing, perfect. Mike Ryman, 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware. So my goal is to make sure that I'm actually faster than Mr. Hutt, because I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I took longer than that. So I'll do my best. You have our presentation in front of you, great. So I have with me Mr. Kevin DeSabatino, who's a property owner, owned this property for about 20 years, and also Mackenzie Pete, who is our legal counsel. The book is in your packet, which has the plus review, the traffic study, and utility letters for willing to serve. Next slide. Perfect. So this just gives you an idea where the property is located. You can see Milton there off to the right of the slide. Highlighted in yellow is the subject parcel. It's about 5 acres, located on Route 16. And you see the intersection of 16 and 30 off to the left side of the page, and then the recently approved in June of 24 Milton Village apartment project. We have surveyed the property. So this is a part of the total property, about 5 acres of the total tract of about 137 acres. You can see there the outline of the entire property is here, including all the way around, and the subject parcel is this corner of the property. Also shown on this is the current commercial zoning line. This dashed line that is located right here separates the zoning, the commercial zoning, from the residential zoning on the parcel. This one was interestingly left out of that. At one point in time, this property was slated for a National Guard, I believe, facility 20 plus years ago. So when the rezoning was going through in this area, it wasn't included. And that never happened, and Mr. DeSabatino picked up the property and has had it since then. To give you an idea where we are in the vicinity, you can see downtown Milton there to the right. You see our property located there in the yellow block in the middle. Just some of the things that are in the area. We have a number of commercial businesses located in the area. We have Kemp's Liquors here. You may have seen the recently constructed BB Medical facility, which was a part of this project. The DeSabatino's worked with BB to bring that project to life. Various other commercial businesses along this corridor, and then the Ironworks facility located at the intersection of 16 and 30. This is a picture of the BB facility, recently constructed. This is a medical office facility. We are about 1,700 feet from the town of Milton. The outline of the town of Milton is shown here in red. Our property shown here in the yellow. Existing zoning, this highlights really what I had said earlier. This property is really an infill zoning along this corridor, with everything being essentially C1. There's some C2 over here, some B2, but the majority of this corridor is currently zoned C1. This fills in that commercial corridor along Route 16. Talk a little bit about the comprehensive plan, which helps us guide growth, as you well know. We currently are in, this is the existing land use map that currently shows some of the existing uses. We have the institutional, which is BB, some of the commercial uses I've already highlighted, some residential use, some agricultural use. Digging in a little bit deeper on the state strategies for policy and spending, this property is entirely within investment level number one, which is this pinkish reddish color, and then the tan is investment level two. There's been lots of discussion about developing within investment level one, and that's exactly what this is. And here is, as we know, investment level one. Represent areas that state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities to promote a variety of transportation options and foster efficient use of existing public and private investments and enhance community identity and integrity. Also, your future land use map, which is a critical element to define zoning. This is in the developing area of the future land use map. This is a key area for development and growth and where growth should be focused. Your comprehensive plan also outlines the different zonings that would be applicable within a developing area of the comprehensive plan, and the C3 zoning district is one of those zoning districts that is aligned with the developing area of the comprehensive plan. And then a little bit further, the developing areas talk about a range of housing types are appropriate in developing areas, including single-family towns, multifamily, et cetera, but also including commercial uses in appropriate intersections. And Route 16 and 30 are major collectors and major corridors, and that is certainly appropriate in this particular case. So this project's actually located within the Milton TID, but that TID has not been finalized yet. That is still ongoing, I believe, between Milton, the county, and DLDOT. Because it is in the TID, we actually did a traffic study. We didn't do a traffic study for this parcel and this zoning. We did a traffic study the entire parcel, which is planned as a master plan project. So we looked at the entire parcel itself. This parcel by itself wouldn't have likely required a traffic study for the uses that we're intending on it at a 5-acre parcel there. But we've done a traffic study in the area because our goal is to master plan this entire property and look at it collectively. So we did do a traffic study. It's got all the intersections listed there. I'm not gonna go through each of those, but approximately 23 intersections have been studied. There are some plans for future DLDOT projects that you may be aware of. This is the intersection of 16 and 30. This is a graphic from DLDOT, which highlights a new roundabout that will be located at that intersection. This is in the project design phase at this point. It does impact a portion of our property, which is, this is our corner right here. And then the commercial 5-acre piece that we're here today for is just off to the slide. But this would be a major improvement at that particular intersection directly adjacent to our property, our overall property. In addition, there's another project that is in the design phase, a new roundabout at Route 30 in Sand Hill. This is just south of us. So if you were to head south from 16, you would run into this intersection here. This is a project that DLDOT is also planning, and of which we would have some contributions towards both of these projects associated with the overall master plan of the development. So to conclude, site is currently in agricultural use, but is surrounded by a mix of residential, communities, agricultural farms, and commercial development. The entire site is currently being used for agricultural purposes. It is located within the future developing area of Sussex County's comprehensive plan. The project is also located within the developing Milton TID. The project is located in investment level one. It is located along a DART bus route as well. Utilities are available to the site. There was recently extensions of water and sewer that front on the overall parcel there as well. And the property is on Route 16, which is classified as a major collector roadway. And lastly, and most importantly, the project is clearly in conformance with the comprehensive plan. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, then you can have a seat. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check online to see if there's anyone that wishes to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing, and if council desires, close public record.
Okay, so council will close the public hearing and close the public record. Mr. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 5.0 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning 1-8.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
I find the application consistent with the neighboring usage and the future land use map, and based upon the testimony heard today and the recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the testimony heard today and the recommendation by PNZ, I vote yes.
Ms. Cornabell.
Based on the recommendations of planning and zoning. Demoni today, I vote yes.
Mr. Riley.
I will also vote yes based on testimony today plus the recommendation of planning and zoning.
I agree with planning and zoning's recommendation. I vote yes. Motion carried. Okay, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grinnell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.